Good morning. Good morning, Hope City. Going? How's that? There you go. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us. You know, that last song, as I was singing that, freedom, freedom reigns in this place. You know, freedom is something that, obviously, as a country, we can be thankful for. Amen? We have a lot of freedoms that maybe not everyone around the world does. I know that that's true. So we can be thankful for those who paid for that freedom, gave a lot for that freedom. So we can be thankful for that. And also, God has offered us a deeper freedom, a more significant freedom than even maybe political freedom. And because of Jesus, we just sang, Jesus reigns in this place. So when Jesus died on the cross, it says he became sin. He took our sin upon himself for us, the innocent one becoming all sin for our, he did nothing to deserve it, but he did it for us. And when we trust that, we have been set free in that moment of faith in Christ. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. Amen? Okay, that deserved a little more, y'all. You guys think about that. You and I were under the curse of sin. The curse of sin would mean eternal separation from our Creator. And Jesus, out of his great love and sacrifice, set us free from the penalty of sin. Amen? Amen. I don't think we'll know the full scope of that, you guys, until we get to see him and until we're with him and we're face to face, how much that sacrifice cost. I don't know that we'll be able to fully grasp that or the glory or the goodness of what that ultimate forgiveness, that ultimate forgiveness means. And maybe there's someone who's never tasted that kind of freedom. Maybe this morning you're still under the weight of that sin. Maybe you're under the weight of that knowing that God is holy and you're just kind of hoping you're going to be good enough. Well, I got good news for you. You're not. We can never be good enough to be good enough for a holy, righteous God. That's why God, in his great love, sent Jesus, because we could never be good enough, and that's not the goal. The reality is Jesus was good enough, and he died for the ones who could never be. And maybe there's someone, I don't know, I trust in a group of this size, there's someone who has never tasted of that sweetest of sweet gifts, of the freedom that comes when we know deep inside of our soul every single sin that we have ever committed is forgiven. And I want to encourage you this morning, that kind of freedom is in this place for you today. Amen? The freedom of forgiveness of sin. Boy, if that's you, don't leave this place without making super, super clear that your sins have been paid for, covered by the blood, the precious blood that we sang about of Jesus, because there is a freedom and a life and a joy. Bible gives the analogy, we are like we are born again in that moment. And so when you have that kind of forgiveness, you're the same, but you know you're also different. You know something is different about you as a human being, like you've been born into some new kind of life. And today, I just have to believe there's someone who needs that kind of forgiveness in this place. And I just want to encourage you, that freedom is here for you today. There's another kind of freedom in this place today, and that is the freedom, not just from the penalty of sin, the penalty of sin is death, but there is freedom in this place from the power of sin. Some of us have been saved, and we have been rescued, and we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But we're still living under the power and authority and dominion of sin. And Jesus also came to empower us after he sent his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit of God, came to empower us. So now we no longer even have to live under the bondage of sin. The empowerment that brings freedom to know that we don't have to live as slaves to sin any longer. We don't have to live that way. That doesn't mean we won't sin. That doesn't mean we won't be tempted. Both of those things will always be a part of our life until we see Jesus and we are freed then from the very presence of sin. Oh, this ain't the sermon, by the way. This is just bonus. But I really feel like there's somebody today who also needs to be set free from the power of sin. There is a sin that is present in your life that is keeping you in bondage this morning. A sin that you can't seem to break. The good news is you can't break it on your own. The better news is Jesus came and empowered you to find freedom over that sin. What is that sin that keeps getting you? What is that sin that keeps grabbing you? What is that sin that makes you realize or feel like you are not free, even though you know in Christ you've been set free? What is that sin or that weight or that bondage? What is it? She knows what her sin is. You can hear it. She's being broken up. I think some of us need to cry like that, you guys. Broken over sin. We're not broken enough over sin. You guys, if there is a sin in your life that you just can't seem to get a hand on, there is freedom in this place for that, for the release and the freedom of the bondage of that kind of sin. Amen? We have to believe that. We have to trust that. We have to know that Jesus came. He set us free permanently from the penalty of sin. He is setting us free currently from the power of sin, and he will set us free one day from the very presence of sin. That's the freedom that's in this place. Woo! Hey, everybody. Good to have you with us. My name is Mark. In case I haven't met you, super glad, super humbled, honored that you decided to come with us. We had a big event this weekend. Maybe you guys heard about it. It was called Church at Hope City. Amen? That was the big... Amen. All right, there's another event, not quite as big, but there was something called Grandma's Marathon. Right? Grandma's Marathon. Do we have anybody that ran it? Raise your hand if you ran it. Any part of it, not just the full marathon, half marathon. Okay, stand up, you guys. We got to give you guys a stand up. Ooh. Come on. That is the most finishers I think we've ever had in the history of Hope City at Hope City. We've always been known as the laziest church in the Twin Ports. Praise Jesus. Congratulations, you guys. That's a fantastic accomplishment. And we're proud of you, and we think you're a little crazy, and we love you, and we're not so sure, but we're praying for you. No, that's awesome, you guys. And that is an accomplishment that takes a lot of training. I just have to believe. Very, very few people do that without training. Some do. They really got issues, okay? But most of us, most of you have to train before you run a marathon. And that training requires diligence and focus and commitment. And I'm sure there's points at which in that race you feel like, man, I don't know that I want to. It'd be far easier to just step off this path than to keep running on it. And man, oh man, it just takes a lot. And there's so many examples and analogies of physical training to spiritual training, which is what we are talking all about this summer. We are talking, it's the summer for us of training in godliness. What does it look like? And what a perfect weekend, as we were so inspired by all of you guys who ran and finished and you did the race. You know, that can inspire us, and it should, and it can also help us to know what it takes to train in godliness. Let's read our verse, okay, that we've looked at the last couple weeks. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I've asked a question the last 2 weeks. This might be the last time I ask it. We are, as a church, having a summer where we train in godliness. And my question is, are you in? At some point, you have to make a decision. Are you in? Are you ready this summer to train yourself in godliness? Because look at what it says. There's very little that you are going to, that we are going to spend our time doing that is more valuable, because training in godliness holds value in this life, and it holds value in the next life. What else can we do that has value like that? That has permanent, earthly, temporary value and eternal value? I can't think of many things that are more valuable. But as valuable as they are, we still have to decide if we are. And I hope this morning, if you have not decided that yet, I know some of you have. Some of you have mentioned it to me that you're in. I've gotten a couple texts. I'm in, you know, with a big arm flexing, you know, spiritual arm. So are you in? That's a question that I want us to ask, because I think it's very easy to listen. It's very easy to be inspired. Maybe it's very easy to be encouraged. It is very difficult to be committed. Being committed in our culture is not popular. We don't like commitment. We just don't like it. We like to be able to get out of things when we want to get out of things. We don't love this idea of commitment to something. But I want to encourage you today, commitment to this is a good thing. It's a good thing. I promise you, because of what God says. I don't promise. God promises. Training in godliness is valuable in this life and in the life to come. Okay. Last week we talked about meditation, meditating on the Word of God. How many of you in this room, because training is also about accountability. Very few people train solo without some level of accountability or a running friend or somebody that they kind of keep up with or track with. That's most common in training. How many of you spent at least one day trying to meditate on the Word this week? Raise your hand. Okay. I thought we were going to get about the same number as we had runners. That brings me joy, you guys. Good job. Meditating on the Word. Now, how many of you of that same group found it, honestly, a little difficult? How many of you found it to be a challenge? Yeah, almost the same number. And the rest of you are dishonest. It's okay. Jesus died for your lying too, right on that cross. But you guys, it can be difficult, isn't it? This is a new muscle that we are learning how to use. So just like if you've never run before and you go take off, you're not going to make it to Two Harbors. Unless somebody picks you up in a car or whatever, takes you to the hospital. But like, these are new muscles that we are learning to use, and we have to give ourselves grace and patience. If you have an expectation that it's going to be so smooth and easy and perfect week one or week two, it's just not. This is something that we will learn and grow in. And last week, man, you guys, that makes me really, really, really thankful and proud that you engaged in that. And this week, so we're going to look at meditation again this week, but we're going to look at a different kind of meditation. So last week we talked about meditating on the Word. Today we're going to talk about meditating in two areas: meditating on God's mighty works and meditating on God Himself. So we're going to look at those two, because Scripture and the Bible and God's heart is that we would meditate on His Word, that we would meditate on His works, and that we would meditate on Him. Okay, so we're going to talk about those two things. But first, let's just define meditation. In case you weren't here, meditate means to ponder. This is a rolling over in your mind. It's a pondering. It's a thinking. It's slowing things down enough to let something ponder or wrap around. You know, in a negative way, anxiety is like meditation. Anxiety is where your mind gets wrapped on something and you just ponder it and it goes over and over and over. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but if you know how to be anxious and be obsessed with an idea, you know how to meditate. Because meditation is just taking, rather than something uncertain or fearful or something that you're not excited about, it's taking that same level of focus and energy and mind thought and putting it to something that is of God. So it's the same concept, just in a really positive way. And as negative as stress and anxiety are, meditation is positive. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it means to ponder, that is, internally converse and commune with the Lord, to meditate, to muse, love that word, to pray and to speak with. We talked last week about Eastern meditation versus Christian or biblical meditation. Here's just another little different kind of a thought on that. Eastern meditation is the emptying of your mind to think of nothing and try to allow yourself to just be or to just exist. So I empty of all things and open myself for anything to come in. I'll just tell you guys, especially as believers, that is just straight up dangerous. That's just straight up dangerous. Because you are allowing, you are inviting in anything. That is, there's nothing biblically or related to Christian or biblical meditation that talks in any way about emptying. Christian meditation, on the other hand, biblical meditation, is filling your mind, fixating your mind, focusing your mind with truth, Jesus, his word, his works, and give undivided attention to God. So you can see, remember our definition of worship is to give our full attention and affection to God. So in one way, you guys, meditation is an act of worship because you're fixing your attention, full focused attention, full attention onto the Lord. And so maybe this week we have to see meditation as an offering, as an act of worship. Because if it becomes a religious thing that we have to do, there will be no life in it. I promise. There will be no life in it. There will be no sustainability in it. There will be no spiritual work and movement in it. It will just be something we do. But if it is an act of worship, man, that changes things. You guys know that when we're singing and when we're worshiping, or you're praying and you're worshiping, or you're in the Word and you're worshiping, and you make that connection with the Lord, and you can tell full body experiencing the Lord in all of his fullness, you know you have worshiped and something changed inside your being. We know what that is like. And meditation is designed to be and to do that same thing. Now, last week I talked about some spiritual benefits of meditation. This week I'm going to flip it and I'm going to look at some physical benefits of meditation. Johns Hopkins School of Medicine did a study on meditation, and they came up with, I picked 7 physical benefits, now scientifically studied physical benefits of meditation. Look at these. I think there's 7 benefits. Number 1, it lowers stress. Okay, that should be enough, you guys. We should just like start to meditate, like, right? It reduces inflammation. Anybody with arthritis in the room? It controls unhealthy cravings. Oh boy, I need that. I better meditate at night. Middle of the night when I wake up, because I'm telling you, donuts are delicious in the middle of the night. I better meditate instead of donut, right? It improves brain function. Our brain actually functions more the way God designed it when we meditate. It slows the negative effects of aging. Now, here's the deal. Johns Hopkins just put slows the effects of aging, but not all aging is negative. And in fact, God would say much aging from his perspective is good. Amen? I say that because I'm old. Okay, there are negative effects of aging physically, but there are also positive effects of aging, who we become, you know, this crown of glory and all these things that we become in our old age that are good. It improves immunity. They have shown now that people that meditate have less sick days at work. And finally, it reframes the brain's response to pain. I'm not going to get this perfectly, but it doesn't actually take pain away. But what it does is it reframes the way your brain processes pain so that you feel less pain. So even though the pain isn't less, your brain processes it differently so you feel it less. Look at those benefits. That's significant. All right, so today, two areas of meditation and focus. I got to pray, though, first, you guys. Will you pray with me? Because this is important, and I don't want to miss it for anything that I would say or not say. I don't want you to miss it for anything that may be going on. This is really a huge blessing, and this is a big part of our training in godliness. So pray with me, if you would. Holy Spirit of God, we need you. Lord, we need you we thank you that you are in this place. And Lord, I'm going to ask that you would manifest yourself, show yourself, reveal yourself in a very special and powerful way to every single heart that is in this room. Lord, I pray for a focus now for this time, that these words are yours, not mine. God, I pray that you would help us, Father, to be people, to be inspired and stirred and ready and in, to be people who train ourselves in godliness. And Father, this idea of meditation has so much benefit. But Lord, change is hard. Change doesn't come easy. Training always has a level of pain associated with it. But Lord God, would you please, in your power and your grace, pour into this place now, pour into these words, your scriptures, Lord, so that we can be stirred how you want us to be stirred. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, two areas for our focus and meditation. The first one, as I said, is deliberate meditation on God's works. Deliberate meditation on God's works. If you guys remember, there were two types of meditation. There was sort of spontaneous meditation, just something comes up during the day and you just sort of meditate on it or you think on it. And then the other type, which is deliberate, where I actually make a plan, I set aside time, I do this focused meditation. What we're talking about today is two forms of deliberate meditation. And the first one is deliberate meditation on God's works. Listen to these verses. Psalm 77:12, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. I will ponder, I will meditate. Psalm 119:27, make me understand the way of your precepts and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 143:5, I will remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Psalm 145, 5. Oh, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. We meditate, we ponder, we think on the mighty works, the mighty deeds, the mighty things that God has done. So what are these? Because that's just so ambiguous, right? Just, okay, Hope City, go out and meditate now on the works of God. Good luck. Have fun. Right? Good luck with that. What are the mighty works of God? I've kind of broken it down into three categories. The mighty works of God, as Mark broke them down into three categories. Number one is his creation. The mighty works of God, his creation is one of the most magnificent, mighty works of God. That would include things like our bodies. Our bodies are incredible. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, that we think on the magnificence of how God... talk to Dr. Erica if you have questions on how incredible our bodies are. She's given some teachings on that before. And the interworkings of this is far beyond anyone or anything's ability to fully comprehend. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ponder on how your eyes can see, how your eyes can focus better than any camera. Ponder on how your ears are perfectly formed to hear just the right amount and just the right way, and how your ear brings that, and how those signals from your eyes to ears go up to your brain and process that information in instant time. How your heart beats without you even thinking about it. How you take breaths every second without ever consciously thinking, I need to take a breath. How your lungs pump blood through your lungs don't pump blood. Your heart pumps blood through your entire body. All of this happening in real time. And all we think is, wonder what's for lunch. and this wonderful, fearfully made, perfect body in its purest form is a marvel. It's a scientific marvel. You can ponder that. Things like the heaven and the sky, so many times, especially as you read in the Psalms and the Proverbs and even in Job, there's this instruction, look to the skies, ponder the skies, ponder the stars, think on the heavens, think on the moon, think on the sun, think on that. We used to, as a species, they used to spend a lot more time pondering the skies. They pondered the stars and the way they would move and the way and the mathematical rhythm of the stars and the planets. Ponder the skies. We're told to ponder trees. We're told to ponder flowers. We're told to ponder, think on, meditate on the animals. We can take time to ponder his creation, remembering that the goal of our meditation is not just to think on something. Our goal is to think on something and then give God the glory. So we think on it, and the wonder on it and the magnificence on it always brings us back to God, the Creator. So we ponder his creation. Number two, part of his good works, we ponder the gospel or the good news. This is probably at the heart of what we should ponder as far as the works of God. It is our salvation, the forgiveness of sins, our adoption into his family, us moving from death to life, from lost to found, from blind to seeing. We ponder the mighty works, our new identity in Christ, all that surrounds the gospel. You know, the gospel is one of those things, and I can't explain this, but I can just tell you I've experienced this, and maybe you have too. The pure gospel of Jesus, of who he was and what he did and why he did it, never gets old. If you really start to ponder it. In fact, the gospel deepens in its beauty and preciousness and amazement of the gospel the more you think about it. But you have to take it deeper than just, I've heard that before. When you start taking the good news of Jesus and God becoming man, Emmanuel, taking our place, living a perfect life, dying on our behalf, when you start pondering that good news, it gets more precious. It gets more life-giving. It doesn't get just something that you've heard in the past, and it's like, yeah, I know that, and I'm ready to move on from that. We never, ever, ever move on from pondering, thinking, meditating on all that Jesus did, because it gets more rich. It gets more rich. The love of God in the person of Jesus was designed to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and we can never exhaust that. It's a simple story that has a depth like nothing else on earth. So we ponder the gospel. We ponder the good news. Number three, we ponder the good and the miraculous things that he has done in our lives. This is where it becomes personal. And we start thinking back on all the good things. We remember the good things that God has done. Three categories, might be more than this. We remember the good things he's done in our lives individually. It is good to go back and remember God's goodness and to think on that. God, during that season, when I was so racked with just trauma and trouble and anxiety and just despair, when I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And then when you get on the other side of that season, don't forget to ponder that season, not to live there, but to thank the Lord that he walked you through there. Maybe you're in that season in the valley of the shadow of death, but you have a previous season that he walked you through. Remember that. Remember the goodness of our God who has walked us through so many times and so many seasons, blessed us in so many ways individually. And then we can thank the Lord for the good he's done in our families, if he's done good in our families, any good. And then we can thank him for the good that he's done in our church family. And in our short 6 years, we could spend the next year thanking the Lord for what he has done for Hope City in the last 6 years. He has been so good and so faithful and so incredible to us. And so it is good to ponder and think on the good things that he's done for us. So we ponder the mighty works of God. Okay, that's first. Now, second one, second deliberate meditation is we meditate on God himself. So we don't just meditate on him through his word. We know that Jesus connected himself to the word, but we meditate on the word. We will experience Jesus when we do that. We meditate on the mighty works of God. And then we are told over and over and over to meditate not just on the word or his works, but on him. We meditate on him, on who he is. I love Psalm 63. It's one of my very faves. And I'm going to read just the first 8 verses. It's going to end with some meditation. But look at all of the words you. Look at all the times he uses the word you in this passage. And then he wraps it up in this idea that all of who you are, I want to meditate on. Psalm 63. It's a psalm of David. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon, that word means to gaze, that is to meditate with our spiritual eyes. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life, so my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Ooh, that sounds really good right about now. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What a beautiful psalm of this idea that we want to fix, we want to ponder, we want to muse on the goodness of who he is, just who he is in his person. We ponder his word. What an incredible gift to us. We ponder his works. What amazing thing to think on. But then we just ponder Jesus. We meditate on God himself. 2 different categories of this kind of meditation. Number one, we can meditate on God's attributes, on the attributes of God. Now, there are many of these. I just picked out a few, but we can meditate on who God is in terms of like the attributes that define what it means for God to be God, okay? Here's just a few. Omniscient, our God is all-knowing. Ponder that one for 5 minutes. Our God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Our God is omnibenevolent. He is all-loving. Ponder those 2 in combination, his omnipotence, his power, and his benevolence, his love. He is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere, always present in all places, at all times, for all time. There is nowhere you can go where God is not. He's omnipresent. Our God is holy. He's set apart. He's pure. Ponder the holiness of God. One of the things I think as a culture we have stopped reverencing is the holiness of God. Not holier than thou. We don't want to become that, but we want to be a people who are reverent because of the holiness of our God. Our God is holy, and he is reverent, and he is worthy. He's worthy of that kind of adoration. Ponder the holiness of God. And our God is also righteous, which means he is just, and he is true, and he is morally perfect. So we can ponder the attributes of God. Wonderful thing. And then the second way we can ponder, meditate upon God is we can meditate on the names of God. Again, these are not all the names of God. There are so many, but I put up a few. We can ponder God as Jehovah Rapha, our God, our healer. Ponder your God as a healing God. Ponder Jehovah Jireh, our God, our provider, the one who provides. Ponder that part of the Lord. Ponder Jesus' name of Prince of Peace. What a name to ponder when you're all stirred up or you're anxious or you're stressed out. Ponder the name of God, that He is the Prince, the Ruler, the Authority of Peace. So if you need peace in your life, go to the authority for it. Go to your Prince. Ponder His name. And I can almost guarantee you, you will come out with more peace in your life because you've pondered who He is. You've pondered His very name, which reveals His character. One of the names of our God is Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus said would come. And it was better for us that He would leave and send the Comforter. And when you need comfort, go to God and ponder how He has promised to comfort us in every and any affliction, so that we then may pass on that comfort to any who are in any type of affliction. He is our Comforter. And finally, one of His names is Emmanuel. They said a child will be born, and they will call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you ever feel alone, if you ever feel like you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, ponder, think on, meditate on Emmanuel. That God is with us. So I wanted to do something that would help us. And this is our first training. This is our first little bit of training application. Okay? Abby and I came up with this, didn't we, Abby? How did it turn out? Do you think we did okay? Okay, Abby thinks we did fantastic. Praise Jesus. So what I did, you guys, is, you know, when you are learning a new way of training, a new discipline, something that you want to incorporate into your life, it is good and helpful to do that consistently for a period of time. And people will say there's different amounts of time for what that is. I just like using 40. I like using 40 days to do something. It's biblical, and science kind of backs some of it sometimes. And so what I want to encourage us, at least give you the opportunity to do today, is we put together these meditation cards, okay? These meditation cards on the front. You can see it says meditation. It has our verse. It has our definition of meditation. And then on the back side of it, it has 40 days, and for each day, something to focus, to meditate upon, okay? And they go in these series of three. So let's pass these out. Will someone, you get, thank you. Someone get this side? Thank you, Derek. So what you're gonna see on the back side of these is every 3 days, you go from meditating on His word, day one part of His word, and I put a verse in there for you. Then day two is His works, and I put a specific part of His works to meditate on and a verse that goes with that. And then meditating on who He is, meditating on God Himself, and there is a verse then with that as well. And so for 40 days, you have a focus of your meditation. Now, this hopefully will build a consistent discipline. This will build as we train in this. I thought about encouraging a certain amount of time. I really don't want to do that, because when you encourage a certain amount of time, it just, I don't know, it can get weird, it can get religious, it can get odd, it can get a whole bunch of things. So I just want to encourage you to take some time for the next 40 days. All of us, every one of us has time to do this, I'm convinced. the busiest one in this room, and we won't have a contest, we won't have us battle for that one because we wear busy as a badge, but I don't want to battle for that one today. But I know that the busiest ones of us in this room, we still have time. God will open up a window for us to take whatever that window is. I'm just not going to give you a number. I'm not going to give you a amount of minutes or whatever. But to take some time and to meditate. I believe that all of those benefits, we don't do it for the benefits, but the benefits are real. And God, if he encourages us to do this, we'll leave the benefits, the good, the reward, the blessing up to him. But I can tell you that it's coming. Because he says it's coming. He rewards those. Okay? So that's what this says. And you can just start doing this. I will tell you guys, I'm committing with you. I'm going to do this. I told you last week, my meditation muscles had gotten a little weak. I just hadn't been meditating like I used to. And this whole thing stirred my heart for like, Mark, you need to do this. So I'm right along with you in this. And I believe this will pay benefit. This will pay dividend both in this life and in the life to come. I don't know how it's going to do that, you guys. I just don't. But I believe that it will, okay? Remember our training method that we talked about last week. It's the ARMS method, A-R-M-S. So we start by asking the Holy Spirit, just a short little prayer, asking the Holy Spirit, I think we can see it up there, yep, to guide us into what is true, which ultimately is Christ. Remember, the goal of our meditation is to connect with the Lord. It's not to learn new information, that may happen. It's not to gain some new insight, that may happen. The goal of meditation is to experience Jesus. It's to experience an intimacy and a closeness with Christ. So we ask the Holy Spirit, who is always revealing Christ to us, to just do what he's promised to do. Guide us into that. That's the A, ask. Then we read. We read whatever the passage is, or the passage that connects with the character of God or the work of God. And so we read that. Maybe we read it a couple of times. And then we begin the meditation process. We just let it roll over in our minds and in our hearts, and we just start thinking on it. We think on a word. We read the passage. It's been helpful sometimes to read the passage backwards. You can see something in a different way. Study the words. Study how the words are organized into a structure, into a sentence. Look at how and what God is trying to communicate to you with this passage or this truth about God. So we meditate, we think on it, we muse on it, we ponder on it, and then we find a satisfaction. And so after we have meditated and we have communed with the Lord, we just thank him. So we take some time and say, thank you, God. You know, remember when those lepers, I don't know if you remember this story, but there was group of lepers that went to Jesus and they got healed. Remember, they got cleansed of their leprosy and they all took off and they were just so excited about their cleansing and their healing. And remember, only one came back. Remember, he came back and he had to thank him. So part of it, I think, in that story is our tendency to We get what we want to get, and then we just move along. We get what we want, and when we feel what we feel, you know, sometimes we experience the goodness of God and the glory of God in the middle of our times of worship. Well, man, that would be a time then after to say, thank you, God. Thank you for bringing me a spiritual sense of being satisfied in you. And so after we meditate, man, let's thank him. Let's find that satisfaction that thanks the Lord. Okay. I got to check. All right. I was going to have us practice, but I'm not going to have us practice because I think we're good. How many of you are ready to say today, you're in? Raise your hand. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. The rest of you, please pray about this. And there's no shame in not. I'd rather have you not raise your hand than lie or something or follow the crowd. But if not, would you just pray about it? And also, test the Lord in it. Give it a few days to meditate with and see how it goes. Give it some time. See if it doesn't connect you to Jesus in a special way. Okay. Worship team, come on up. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray this week we would enter into the world, God, the blessed, glorious world of meditating on your word, meditating on your mighty works, and meditating on you. God, I pray that as we jump into this, as we begin this training now in godliness in this specific area, Lord, that you would give us grace. Lord, help us to go easy on ourselves. If our minds get distracted and we only get a little bit of time and it just doesn't kind of seem like much happened, Lord, help us to just persevere. Lord, part of training in godliness is the long haul. It is persevering over the long haul. And so help us, Lord, to push through and to just have a commitment to this, God, trusting that, Lord, if this is something you have placed before us, then it is a good thing because your plans for us are good. And so, God, give us grace and patience. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over this whole process in Hope City. God, would you, Holy Spirit, please, please just breathe into this. Breathe into these moments that we have individually, these moments with you. Lord, connecting and communing with you. God, may they be life-giving, please, for our church. May you please reveal yourself. May you please connect with your body. God, as we humbly, and just in a way that just reveals our trust, enter into this time of training in this way. Lord, we know that you're a redeemer of time, so it doesn't have to take a ton of time, Lord, to be very valuable. So help each of us, Lord, to just take some time and to start learning this discipline, this method of meditation on you, for you, God, because of all you've done. So we love you, dear God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.